All right, it's about that time. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to get things going, give people a chance to get into this show, get into this room, I guess, or space, I'm going to call it. So let's kick things off. Hello, welcome to USA Rugby Happy Hour Live. Thank you so much again for joining us. We are here for the next hour or so to talk Major League Rugby, USA Rugby, and more, whatever you're choosing. We encourage you to come up here and ask us and our guests questions. You, the listeners, drive the show. And to get updates on future shows and news about USA Rugby, Major League Rugby, and more, follow Eagles Overseas and Rugby Morning here on Twitter and most other social media channels. I am Bill Baker of Eagles Overseas, also the host of the Eagle-Eyed Rugby Podcast, and introduce himself as my co-host, finally awake, John Fitzpatrick.
Hey, everyone, and yeah, apologize for last week. And Bryce, I'm sorry I missed you last week. I was putting my daughter down to sleep, and I fell asleep next to her, and I woke up an hour and a half later and entirely missed the show. But I'm John from Rugby Morning. I curate the top rugby news from around the world, and then I serve it up in an email every Monday morning through Saturday morning, and we put a little American spin on it, and you can find us on our socials at Rugby Morning. Bill, back to you.
So excited about this next hour. Before we get to our first guest, here's a quick recap of the latest USA Rugby news. John, right back to you.
Yeah, sure. I think the biggest news so far is the simple fact that, you know, we're just 4 days away from the MLR trade and signing deadline. So we're seeing a number of teams kind of maneuver and make some moves to free up some salary cap space. The most recent thing that I saw just a few moments ago was that the NOLA Gold received the first and third round pick in the 2022 MLR Collegiate Draft from L.A., in exchange for 2022 salary cap space. So I think, you know, potentially Monday morning we're going to see some more signings, maybe some big moves there. The Dallas Jackals have been active. They also signed and brought back Roderick Waters, who was a former teammate of Bryce Campbell last year. So it's good to see him back in the league. Certainly there's been some suspension news. Unfortunately, Old Glory DC number 8, Jameson Fanano-Schultz, has been suspended 10 games. He was cited in the Dallas game 2 weeks ago. He's done for this season and most likely will miss the America's 2 qualifying series against Chile in July. So more to come on that and see what happens for next year. And certainly, last but not least, it was exciting to see MLR announce the 2022 draft date. That's going to take place August 18th with the first hour on FS2. And then the remaining hour or so is going to be on the Rugby Network. So, Bill, a lot of news today for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking at the weekend in matches over in Europe right now, we've got on Friday, tomorrow, we have Rouen, I can never say the name right, against Béziers and Pro D2 action. Michael Basca is starting at scrum half for Rouen, so it's good to see him continue getting starts for that club. Sam Wuching is still out recovering from his injury, but should be back soon. He's been training with the club as well. And then looking a little further north up in the England area, London area, we have the Challenge Cup quarterfinals. We've got Saracens playing Gloucester tomorrow, Friday. Capelli Pifoletti, Saracens in that match. Good to see that. And to have Toulon versus London Irish on Sunday. No word on their selections yet with Michael Ciceni with Toulon. We'll find that out tomorrow. In Champions Cup quarterfinals, we have Toulouse facing Munster on 10 o'clock on Saturday. It's a big match. Expect to see David Anu'u at least be in a reserve in that match and Dublin's Aviva Stadium. Big match right there. And then we have Montpellier versus Rochelais at 12:30 on Saturday. And then finally at 10 a.m. on Sunday, Sale Sharks play Racing 92. AJ McGinty is back in training with Sale. Good to see that. Hopefully we'll get him in this match. Maybe a reserve would be nice. Those previous three matches I just mentioned will be live on Peacock, which is very good to see. All right, enough of that, enough of the news. It's time to get into our first guest. Before we get to our first guest, though, later at 9:30, Ryan Mattias from San Diego Legion joining us. But for now, and a great way to start the show, the guy that leads the league in appearances on this show and could easily pull off an Ivan Drago from Rocky V for Halloween. Let's welcome Houston Sabercast, Kristen Dyer. Kristen, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me back on.
Did you catch the reference of Ivan Drago? Does that mean anything to you at all?
What did he have? A three-peat or something?
No, he had the most amazing hair. Because I'm looking geez. Back.
That was not where my head was
going. My hair like almost came up still at times. Yeah. I like where you're going with that too. That was good.
Yeah.
So enough of the hair, Christian. You know, thanks again, obviously, for joining us. Always great to have you on the show. But the last time we spoke, Houston was sitting in fourth place in the Western Conference, but now has dropped a spot, you know, but still in striking distance of third, that final playoff spot. So, you know, what is your team doing right now to make their way up? You know, other than just in San Diego, what things are the team working on right now?
You know, I think we're really just focusing on ourselves. We're starting to I think, hit our stride, and I think we're doing it in the right moment, and we have an amazing 5 games left, such a good opportunity to get us into the top three. And, you know, once you're in the playoffs, it's knockout rugby, and, you know, the slate is wiped clean. So it's all eyes on us, and we're just going to do everything we can to make sure we're in the top three.
As a team captain, you know, how much of this drive to climb up into that playoff spot do you carry in your shoulders? You know, how much responsibility, I don't want to say that word. It's a team effort, obviously. But, you know, how much do you put in your shoulders? You know, how much influence are you in this issue?
Gee, you know, I don't put too much on my shoulders because it's a collective effort. But I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to do is just drive the standards,
right,
you know, of our team and keep both myself and everybody accountable. You know, it takes a village, and I just am trying to make sure that everybody's doing their own individual part to get there.
Christian, yeah, Bill mentioned, he spoke a little bit earlier about how tight it is in the Western Conference right now, right? You've got Seattle, Houston, San Diego all a point or two apart, pretty much a tie for that last playoff spot there in third with, I think, a 1-point differential between Houston and Seattle. You know, I like the media likes to play up certain narratives, you know. Do you think this match against San Diego, is this a do-or-die match for you guys?
I think every match now is you know, do or die, and that's certainly how we're going to approach it, and I'm sure that's how San Diego is going to approach it. You know, they're an amazing side, and you know, they're definitely the one that we're competing for that third spot, and we're also looking for that second spot. So I think every game from now on is knockout rugby.
Yeah, which is exciting as a fan, right, to be able to watch that. And, you know, if you look after the round 14 match against San Diego, and I know, you know, it's the cliche is one game at a time, but, you know, after this match against San Diego, you face Utah and then you, D.C., and then you close out the season with two big Western Conference games against Seattle and Austin. As a player, how does one focus on the game ahead without looking ahead or thinking too much about kind of what the rest of the conference is doing?
You know, of course you have it in the back of them, you know, your mind of what's going to happen later on in the season, but it's really just taking, you know, putting one foot in front of the other and just putting everything you got into the next match, you know, the next opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the focus one match at a time, you know, it's, you know, we always hear that all the time, but in, I guess as a professional athlete, you can only control so much and not worry about the week 15 or the week 16 game if right in front of you is a week 14 matchup that, you know, is quote unquote, you know, game that you certainly guys would want in the win column. You know, we talked a little earlier about the MLR trade deadline, which is coming up on Monday, and we've seen a few teams free up some salary cap space, but I guess from your point of view, do you anticipate Houston making any personnel moves before the trade and signing deadline?
That's foreign territory to me. I don't have an answer.
No, I hear you. You know, you play with the guys you have, right? You know, your team has gotten you guys this far, right, in the hunt. So I guess better leave that up to the GM.
Yep, I leave that up to coaches, GM. That's not my department.
That's above his pay grade, John. So So Christian, looking at this past week now, you were part of the 2-day alignment camp there in Houston with Gary Gold. What can you tell us about it? You know, what was the what was the purpose of those couple of days, and what did you get out of it?
I mean, I think first and foremost, it was just great to get back, you know, as a group and see some familiar faces, and there were some new faces in there. So, you know, just from a culture standpoint, it was awesome to see the group of boys that we're going to, you know, assemble in camp in June and take it to Chile. But technical, tactical, there was a bit of that. You know, we went over our DNA and how we're going to approach the two games against Chile. And we talked a bit about Chile's, how they play and their structure and style of play. But it is still weeks away, so it was mostly about us and what we can expect to see in camp. Everybody had an opportunity to speak with coaches one-on-one and kind of map out their game plan for the next 6 weeks. So everybody comes into camp, you know, in the best form possible to help the team in whatever capacity that may be.
And I spoke to Gary recently, and he said there were 165 U.S. eligible players in Major League Rugby. I'm assuming there wasn't 165 players in the camp. With that said, what was the vibe and sentiment after the players broke from the camp?
Everybody's just excited. Really a big sense of gratitude just being a part of the group. But there's a lot of responsibility on our shoulders, and that's a beautiful thing of rugby. With that, you know, with the pressure comes responsibility. So I think everybody's looking forward to it. And yeah, it's a challenge, but one that I think everybody's going to be prepared for.
Yeah, Christian, I don't know if you heard the story, but it seems like this two-day alignment camp kind of flew under the radar a little bit. The first I heard about it, actually, Bill, do you want to tell how you interviewed Gary last Sunday?
Yeah. So I ran into Gary at a Free Jacks game. We kind of messaged back and forth prior, but I was walking down the street. I was going to a tailgate party at the Free Jacks game, and there was Gary eating a burger there with some guy who grows grass-fed beef. I was like, "Hey, Gary, let's do an interview." He's like, "Why not?" And I put a beer out of my cooler, and we had a good conversation about the whole thing.
That's awesome. I mean, I don't think it needs to be the most, public. I don't know. It was an internal meeting. Right. I think it was just an alignment camp, like the title states, and just to get the guys together and have some conversations about what to expect and. You know, where we need to be in the 6 weeks to start camp. That's really all it was. You know, there wasn't training involved, or there's, you know, nobody was on the field in boots running plays. It was some meetings, sit downs, a lot of handshakes, a lot of smiles. And I think it was great for the culture. And it definitely got everybody eager to compete, to pull the jersey on.
I think more than anything, as a fan of USA Rugby and of the Eagles, and knowing what's coming up in July, I think everyone was just excited for the fact that like the group, the clan was getting together, so to speak, right? And that plans were being made. So it was shared around a little bit on social. And I think it was more so everyone just super eager for the fact that, you know, everyone kind of just looking forward to what's going to happen here in July.
Sure. No, we're fortunate that we had the opportunity to get together, because sometimes, you know, you get a week to prepare against, you know, for a test match, but we're going to have ample time to get ready and get together as a group to go play Chile.
You're talking about that Gary Gold interview I did with him. We talked about the French Barbarians, and I asked him what we should expect from the French Barbarians. You know, are they a developed side, a free-flowing side like the Barbarians? And quite frankly, he said he has no idea what to expect. So, you know, looking at that as a tune-up match against the French Barbarians before the Chile matches, you know, what's the focus? Has he talked about the focus? Is it primarily Chile, or are you going to concentrate at all about the French Barbarians?
Yeah, geez. I think, you know, we're going to approach it like any other game. We're going to create a game plan to beat them. You know, we play to win. But I think the focus is going to be on us. And really, really ingraining the style of play, the structure, the discipline that we're going to have to take to Chile. The French Barbarians, I don't know what side they're going to bring. I don't know what caliber of players from where they're going to come from. But, I'm sure it's going to be a highly competitive game. They're going to have elite players, and it's going to be a great opportunity for us to test ourselves. And it'll be a good match coming into Chile, where we can fine-tune some things after the match, you know, the week leading into the first game against Chile.
You know, Bill, and yeah, Christian, it sounds like from a little research and others, feel free to chime in there, but the French Barbarians are made up of Pro D2 and Top 14 squad. So potentially there's an opportunity there maybe from your USA Eagle teammate, Michael Basca, to maybe get a little intel potentially on the French style of play from his time starting now with Rouen, which is great for him, certainly. But the French, I think more than anything, I think, and I'll speak from my point of view, I think fans are just excited for the fact that there is a tune-up match before such a big series against Chile, whether it is the French Barbarians or some other side. Just the fact that the Eagles are in camp and have a game to maybe work over some things before such a big test in July.
Yep, I'm with you.
Cool. So Christian, I wanted to take it back a little bit to MLR here. So, you know, since you joined MLR, you've been playing primarily on the wing in Houston, but you played outside center in college at Cal. Is your position settled for now at wing, or could we see you maybe move into the centers?
Are you speaking with the Eagles or with Houston? Because I've played every game in the 13 position.
Yeah, I guess kind of all over with Houston and with the men's Eagles. Is there more of you guys switching back and forth from the centers and the wing, or just kind of what the matchup may be?
You know, I haven't thought that too far in the future. You know, here at Houston, playing center is where I'm going to suit, you know, where I'm going to fit in the best and help the team in the best way possible. And that goes the same with playing with the Eagles. Coach says me on the wing right now is where I'm going to contribute most to the team. And, you know, that's what I'm focused on. And if that's where I'm playing, then I'm going to do everything in my power to become the best player at that position. It doesn't bother me really where I play on the field. It's as long as I'm in the jersey on the field, you know, that's my primary focus.
Sure. And you know, as you talk about, you know, changing positions, you know, center wing and, you know, wherever the coach puts you, that's where you want to play, you know, making the jump from college to MLR and then, you know, playing at that international level. What does it take to compete? You know, we'll start at wing. What does it take to compete at wing in MLR compared to college? What is that jump like, or what is the skill set like for any players that are trying to make that jump up a level?
I think the biggest thing is just the kicking game. You know, you don't have a lot of competition in the air at the collegiate level, and nor do you have tons of you know, big high balls on you that you have to go up to compete for. So I think that's the biggest adjustment I've had to make, is really work on that area of the game. And then secondly, it's just the speed of the game. Stuff happens so much faster at the international level, and the breakdowns happened in a split second. But I think my time with the Sevens program definitely exposed me to that high level of play and that fast pace breakdown. And, you know, that's where I gained some confidence moving into the international 15s game.
Hey, Christian. So, you know, I want to ask your opinion on our next guest here in a second. But first of all, let's talk about your group. Obviously, you're a part of the young influx of players in the USA level. You know, not just USA level, but major level, that kind of thing. You know, when you look at the veterans that you play with, obviously, and also against, you know, what can you gain from these people, especially international level, going into this summer? You know, again, Ryan Mannix is our next guest here. But when you look at that, you know, how, God, what's the word I'm looking for here? You know, what can you take from these guys? You're the new guys. You know, what kind of mentorship are you looking from these older players?
I think first and foremost, a lot of the leaders and the veteran players are just professionals in all areas of their life. You know, it's not just rugby, but it's how they approach the game, their social life, their, you know, sleep, recovery, everything about them is professional. So I think,
yeah,
seeing that in person and learning from them is definitely going to help me, one, with my career and longevity, but two, just making the most of my time and opportunities. I think that's my biggest takeaway, is just seeing how they act both on and off the field and try to take some things away from some players and stuff from other players and try to implement that into my own life.
And before we go to our first listener here, John Trevor, one thing I want to mention, want to ask you, Christian, is, you know, is there any particular player that you've kind of taken on as your mentor?
Jeez, I have a few on the team. you know, being so, you know, I definitely had a few with the Sevens program, but I've had a short stint with the 15s program. And I know Bryce is listening, but Bryce has always been, you know, he took me under his wing and definitely helped show me the ropes. And I've learned a lot from him on and off the field. I know Mattias is listening, but that guy is just an amazing player, but an amazing human being off the field. And that's definitely something I aspire to be like. And another guy is AJ McGinty, because he's a true professional when it comes to rugby. And I've learned a lot about how he approaches games and especially how he studies his opponents. And he really, really dives into film study. That's something that, coming out of college, I knew I could be better at. And having mentors like that definitely makes that transition easier.
That's great. Okay, let's go to our first listener of the day, John Trevor, JTO. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hey, Christian, big fan of yours. I was just curious, like, you know, playing when you were playing in high school and college, were there any players that you watched that you, like, kind of modeled your game after a little bit? Because, like, watching you play, like, the way you drift into wide channels and unlock defenses and stuff, like, I mean, you kind of, like, you remind me of, like, Gary Ringrose or Henry Slade or someone like that kind of playing at 13. I was just, like, curious if like, there was anyone you watched growing up playing rugby that kind of, you know, you took parts of their game and implemented it.
Sure. Yeah. No, great question. Appreciate the words as well. You did talk about Henry Slade. That's been an idol of mine for years, and getting to play him against England was an absolute dream come true. But there's a couple other players that I really, really watched. Defensively, Malachi Fekitoa, when he was with the Highlanders, was somebody that I always watched growing up, and I just loved how physical and how dominant he was on defense. And then there's a player in South Africa, Jesse Creel, and I've actually had a couple Zoom calls with him and picked his brains about how he approaches the game and his mindset and everything. And he's a class player, but his ability to fill multiple positions in a back line, you know, wing, center, even inside center, is something that I really wanted to emulate and have that versatility in my toolkit. So I just, you know, I'd watch tons of their games and I'd really, really focused on their movement, especially before they even got the ball in hand. And I think that's something that was one of my biggest takeaways, and, you know, just watching film and studying how they move and how they're seeing the game, you know, has a ton of lessons that you can then implement into your own game.
That's awesome. Appreciate it. Yeah, just wanted to ask, because, like, just an example, like that Dallas Jackals game, like, you showed some, like, insane rugby IQ moments, like, when you had quick ball, like, drifting wide to just take out, like, the 12 and get the wing to commit to you, and, like, that last try, like, you didn't try to dive for the corner, like, you immediately saw that, like, the defense had, like, overshifted, and you stepped back in, just cool stuff like that. I'm like, man, it's, like, new American rugby players are, like, going to be legit, so.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
John, great questions, man. I really appreciate it. I'm going to, if you come up and talk, guys, I'm going to drop you back down after, but please come back up as well after you ask your questions. But, you know, speaking of that, you know, what John was mentioning, Legion stuff, when you look at someone like Ryan Matthews is on later, you know, you've been in camp with him over the past year or so. You know, what kind of impact or presence does a guy like Ryan have on you or the squad? I mean, what kind of leadership does a guy have, Ryan, like the experience he's gone through over the years of being this team? Is there something about his experience as well that has helped you or the team as well, you know, succeed?
Sure. I think something that struck me, you know, right when I met Ryan was he's always a team first type of guy. You know, when we're in drills, he never shies away from holding bags and trying to make, you know, the other guys around him better. And that is something that I remember from, you know, my first time meeting him down in Chula Vista with Sevens, is putting the team before yourself, and it doesn't matter if you're a starter or you're dead last on the roster. It's just, you know, making those around you better. And that's something that I took away from him that is not just applicable to rugby, but life.
Yeah. All right. So enough about that, dude. We'll talk with him later. all right, John, you got some stuff for us.
Yeah, Christian, you may remember last time we were on here. Thank you for coming back on. We asked you in the last few minutes some silly questions. So now's the time for some of them silly stuff here. But, Now that you've been in Houston for a little bit, what's your favorite place to eat in Houston? Give us a tidbit on the best place to eat in Houston.
Favorite place to eat. I got a couple of them. If I'm feeling healthy, I typically go to a place called Fadi, FADI. It's a Mediterranean restaurant I absolutely love. And then if I'm feeling unhealthy, you're probably familiar with it, but it's called Cane's, Raising Cane's, and we don't have them really out in California. So getting to Texas, I got to experience it for the first time. And yeah, no, that food's fantastic.
Good stuff. Sticking in Houston and in the Sabercats, what teammate in Houston has the worst taste in music?
Lawrence Vanderskyf, our inside center.
Why is that?
Because he plays, I mean, he's never consistent with it. So we'll be in, you know, we'll be in a car ride and he'll play, I don't know, country song that, you know, I'm familiar with. And then it goes straight to Afrikaan music. And I don't even notice that it's a different language. I was like, what are you doing? So I'm going to say him.
Good stuff. All right. Good stuff. You know, we've talked maybe about some of your favorite rugby moments that you've seen in your career, but what is the funniest thing that you've seen on a rugby pitch?
Jeez, our scrum half, who Dylan, he doesn't have hair, he's bald, but he got slapped on the top of his head, and we have a video of it. It's hysterical. I think we made a GIF or GIF, whatever you call it, out of it.
Really? We've got to see this. We're going to have to ask the Houston social team to share that
with you. Yeah, maybe after the season we'll get it out there.
Good stuff.
You know, Christian, talk about food real quick. There's a gentleman here listening in, this guy, Matt Dillner, that he and I spent a lot of time on the road together. We did a lot of stuff in NASCAR. And this guy knows food. So we never really spent time in Houston. We spent time in Dallas, though. And I think we went to, and I could be wrong here, I think we went to a gas station somewhere in Dallas, and the back end of the gas station had like this 5-star restaurant. It was, I don't know what it is about Texas, but that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you figure out what it's called, and I'll go check it out next time I'm in Dallas.
All right, I'll have him message information. I'm hoping it is Dallas, but or Houston, I don't know. But I'll get it from him, and I'll send it to you as well. So, listen, Christian, we're at the end of your time, man, or our time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking to you again. Good luck this season with Houston. We do cheer you getting into the top three, and absolutely good luck this summer with USA.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Christian.
Take care.